Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. Everybody asks, why is it Stars this and Stars that? Well, it's because it's a name that I got when I worked for America Online, and I just carried it through with my websites. And anyways, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on, and I want to welcome everybody to the show, whether you're listening now or after we record all of this. It'll go out. I'll put it out. Right now, Stars are still there. We have great rates, great readers. They are steadfast and true. Some of them have been with me. Well, you know, Stars started about 12 years ago, but they were with me before. So many of them, there's one lady that's been with me, I bet you, 25 years. And that feels good. That makes me feel good. That means I'm doing something right. I'm treating everybody right. Right now, we have a newsletter that you can subscribe to and get in on a drawing, and you'll hear everything that's going on Stars. I have a blog. But down the road, Mystic Living Today, my magazine, is going to be a flip magazine where you actually can turn the pages. And I think we're going to combine a newsletter and a magazine newsletter all in one. But you can still subscribe, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want. You have that ability always. And it's going to be nice. The magazine itself, as I was telling my guest, will be 25 years old in January, on January 1st. And that's a story in itself, how it began. But, you know, I was telling her, this is a milestone. I mean, how many times you hear of somebody that's been on the Internet that long? But, you know, I think it just means that I love what I do. And I'm obviously doing what I love what I do. And it's one of the gifts that was given to me that I can bring on beautiful people like my guest. So I'm going to talk to her right now and bring her in. And her name is Judy Wilkins-Smith. How are you today, Judy?
Hi, Natalie. I am super good. I'm down in nice, hot Texas, and it's a great day.
And I'm in hot South Carolina.
There we go.
So, I mean, there's no problems. Last week we had some bad weather here. Of course, you get bad weather, too. It was close, but, you know, our season will run until, I think it goes until the 1st of November or something like that. But usually here in the South, where I am, it gets a little testy in October. We always seem to be get hit bad in October. One time we had to evacuate. I was lucky. The homes around here were lucky. Some water, you know, but yeah, we'll get a hurricane. But we've been lucky for so many years now, but I love it here, and I'm sure you love where you are, right?
Love where I am. I'm like you. When I will say, though, Texans don't know what to do when we get hit with snow. It's like, what is this white stuff?
Well, same thing here. I mean, we have, since I've been here about 22 years, because I came from Michigan, so you know I know what snow is. But we would get maybe an inch. But the funny thing is here is that there are no snow plows. If we got 5 inches of snow, we'd be snowed in for days until it melted. And but up in Michigan, there were plows and ice, you know, and they would dump all the ice, you know, they would dump all the ice, they'd dump all the stuff to melt the ice. And it was really cool up there. Yeah, you get a snow day, didn't have to go to school and all that kind of stuff. But down here, I love it down here. I'm sure you love where you are. You're almost guaranteed great weather all the time. And where in Texas are you?
I'm actually between Dallas and Houston.
Okay, my son's best friend is in Houston. So, yeah. But you've been hit with nasty weather before there in Houston, like floods and stuff, right?
That's much further down south. Houston does get really nasty floods. But where I am, we've also had it where we've had about 2 foot of snow, and we have no idea what to do with that.
And I lost that word that I was saying. It was the salt trucks, not the ice trucks, the salt trucks that would dump all the salt so that everything would melt. But anyways, let's talk about you. You have, your site is Judy Wilkins-Smith.com. And you and I were just talking about it. On her page, on her main page, she's got, how big are you willing to be? That's a great question. So we're going to get into that. But Judy, I want to start with, how did you get into writing? Everybody finds their path somehow. Either you get dragged along by somebody else, or you stumble on it. You know, nobody stumbles on it, but it's kind of divine. I think it's divine order. I think you take these necessary steps to go here, to go here, to go here, and finally end up where you are. It's like your purpose. It's what you're supposed to be doing. So how did Judy get started on her path?
I was one of those. I definitely didn't see it coming. My father was, we moved to the U.S. My father was killed, and it was either write books or go crazy. So I decided, you know what, writing books was probably a better idea. And along the line, doing research for one of the books, I stumbled into this systemic work in constellations. And here's the full sort of circle moment for that. I'd been doing it for a bit, and somebody came up to me and said, well, of course you could do this. And I went, why? And they said, because it started in South Africa. And I went, oh. And then they said, yeah, with the Zulu tribe. And that's when I went, okay, fine. When I left the medical field in South Africa, the person who gave my farewell speech was a Zulu gentleman. And he said to me, you're leaving us, but you'll find a way to represent us in the world. And I just laughed. And now I do it every day.
Oh, my gosh. Is that a wonderful – that's a wonderful beginning for you. And it's funny because if – but we have to look back sometimes. I was not doing what I'm doing today back many years ago. I was not. I mean, I didn't even know it existed. You didn't have e-zines. You didn't have the radio online. But you know, my path was kind of like left, right, left, right. I wasn't stumbling, Judy, but I was – I didn't think I was on a path at all. I didn't even know what that meant.
Right.
Being a little Catholic girl, I don't want to say you're brainwashed, but you're kind of taught a certain way, and that's what you're supposed to believe. However, I was a Roman Catholic, but I was baptized a Greek Catholic girl. And, cause problems. So my background is Greek Catholic, which kind of makes more sense than Roman Catholic to me. I don't know why. So you were born and raised over there. You were in a medical profession there. You came to the States. Is that where you landed next, was the States?
Yeah, we came to the States. We landed here. Things went sideways. I started doing this. And just kept doing it because what happened was I started working with groups and then individuals. Then a couple of them said, well, can you work with leaders? And I said, yeah. And then went and also learned about systemic work for businesses. And then what occurred to me, I think that's where I sort of differed a little, was we're not just sitting with where you are, what's happened to you, and what the consequences are. It's also, what is your purpose? And systemic work and constellations and emotional DNA, which was what I brought in, very much teaches you that right next to what looks like a train smash is often your purpose, very often.
And I love that.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
and so what I then began to understand was this was really more the purpose of it, was it wasn't just solve the problem. It was, and then what? And so emotional DNA, which is your pattern of thoughts, feelings, and actions, is where I went with it. And, but I've very much find that people who come in there will say to me, everybody in my family is miserable. We're always depressed. Well, I don't have a purpose. And I go, you've just told me your purpose. Your purpose is joy and elevation. It's sitting right there looking you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, the purpose. Now, if I were to come to you, let's use me as an example, and I don't want to give any of your secrets or anything, but if I came to you and I said, Judy, I'm really lost. I keep going up against brick walls. I keep getting hit with, no, 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 you can't do that. You probably would say something to me, but you still keep going, don't you? And my answer would be yes. I don't know. You know, and I will sometimes sit and talk to the divine and say, you know what? What am I doing here? What do you want me to do? What else can I do? You know, I do so much. I have this magazine. I have the other site that I do, and the only thing it pays for is my internet. I don't make any money from it, and I don't care because, you know, Judy, I love what I do. But if you were going to talk to me, what would you tell me? That I'm kind of floundering around, and I really don't know the purpose. Would you ask me a question? Well, what's in front of me? What would you say?
Bunch of questions. So here's what I would do. Let's suppose we were at a live event, okay? And you said, I want to do a piece of work, and you said, okay, I'm floundering around. I seem to be stuck. I don't know what my purpose is. And I would say to you, okay, tell me about your mom. Tell me about your dad. Tell me about you growing up. What was your best day? What was your worst day? We'd get a whole good history. And at the end of that, what we might do is I would say, okay, pick a representative for your mom, one for your dad, one for yourself, maybe one for the siblings. Pick a representative for purpose. And then I would say to you, I want you to place those representatives the way that it feels right for you. So you might place mom in one corner, dad in the other, you in the middle, purpose, hanging out, looking at everybody, siblings sort of up in another place, and I would begin to ask you questions about that. Because what's happening now is you've taken what's inside your head and you've put it in front of you where you can see it, you can talk to it, you can hear it, you can touch it, you can walk in it. So what's happening is your brain, your head-heart-gut connection is making a whole lot of connections and it's getting a whole lot of insight. You're beginning to understand why you do what you do. And I will keep asking questions that the representatives may move, because what people don't know is that we're very, very able to sense into each other's systems very accurately. And when people ask me if that's really possible, my answer is if you watch something like AGT or you watch something like The Voice or any of those, and you have that goosebump moment when you see somebody really hit their stride, you've just sent to their system. So what we do in this work is we make the invisible visible and the unconscious conscious, which we've always been able to do, but we've never been taught. So when people see this in front of them, they have these huge transformational moments. They have big ahas and big shifts. And because it's in the moment, it's an embodied experience that causes quite rapid shift. And the more that is ingrained, the more that becomes your new pattern. So what you're doing is you're rewiring your brain, you're rewiring your heart, you're rewiring your gut. And in that whole process, you would very likely look and go, oh, my goodness, there is my purpose. It's been sitting in front of me all along. I can't believe it.
Now, do you sometimes see your purpose when you're real young, real small, or you have to mature?
Some people do, but here's the thing. It also changes. It is like you. It grows, or it grows up. So what you've got now is not necessarily the it. The it may change. If you look at someone like Bill Gates, he started off with a little microchip he wanted to sell to IBM. That was it. And he kept going because they said no and he said yes. So he went, well, fine, then I'll just put it in my own machine. And then it was, I wonder what it would be like if everybody had a machine. So your purpose will also grow. It's not a static thing. It will grow.
Yeah, and that makes sense with computers and how they began. You know, everybody, for example, if Bill Gates would not have gone into his garage and hooked up a keyboard with a television and figured it out, we would not be doing what we're doing. We would not.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you have to think about it. He probably sat there, I'm just guessing, but he was probably just toying around with things because he liked to think about things a lot and thought, well, how can I get the letter A on that screen? How do I get it there? I mean, I have a keyboard, okay, with the A, but how do I get it there? Well, first of all, it has to be connected. We know that. I mean, it's not going to talk to it and say A, and the A goes up, you know. Of course, nowadays you can do anything. You have this artificial intelligence and all of that. But can you imagine if he would not have done that? And then I think the man that developed Apple was with him at one time, and then they grew apart and separated. Yes, Steve Jobs. And the man, Steve Jobs, I knew this man who knew him, and he said, you know, it was probably a bonus for both of them because they had a different purpose. And you think about that. I just thought of that. You know, Steve Jobs, he had the Apple computer. I had an Apple computer once. So it was my first one. But then, you see, it didn't have Windows on it. It didn't have the capabilities of doing what Windows can do. Apple is good for graphics, things like that, as long as you don't have to rely upon Windows. It's amazing how you start with people like that and look at how their life was, and you would see it right away. Yeah, oh, there it is right in front of his face. I mean, there he is. He's a genius. He's going to put these two together. He's going to make it work.
Absolutely.
But it's really amazing. Now, for me, for example, I started off in tennis. But, Judy, I was always of service to people. I started off at the desk in a club. Then I went to a director's job. Then I went with the head pro. I worked with him. I mean, it was a move up for me all the time. It was a great thing for me. I loved it. Okay, so that was part of my purpose, I guess, was to be showing people the way, I guess you could say, because that's what I did. I collected the money, but I also set up everything for the head pro, for the USTA leagues. I did all of that. So I think it was a path that I had to go through. But I was a hairdresser when I was really young. I did hair in Michigan. I got my license, went to beauty school. I did hair. I did a lot of things. And look what I'm doing now.
I love that.
I don't know how I got to where I am. Well, I know. I got my computer. That's what did it. And people need to start listening to me and understanding. I got a computer. So what did I do? I started searching online. I wanted to work with the computer. So I found America Online. And I was also an astrologer. And I found some areas on America Online that they had them. This is way back. They had different groups that you could join. One of them was called Crystal Ball. Well, they were taking astrologers, tarot card readers, channelers, medium. They were taking everybody. There must have been 400 of us. I got accepted. But, you know, you had to, it was tough because you had to go into a chat room and work for nothing and do a mini reading. You had to be there an hour and a half. You didn't get anything, not a dime. And when I think about it, the training that I got from that was, you couldn't buy it. It was tremendous. But it opened up a door for me, Judy, of something that I wanted to do, that I was set out to do, that I was, the intention was there. Natalie needs to do this. Because I felt good at it. I loved it. But I guess, so if you look back at the beginning when you were, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, having children and all that. I'm talking beyond that. You're going to find a path that's going to open for you. But the question is, how big are you willing to be? You can ask me that. You know what I'd say? As big as I can be.
Good. And you should be, because the day that you agree to truly be as big as you can possibly be is the humblest day of your life. It's the first day that you agree to be responsible for growing a really good, big life, and now you're in service of the universe.
I am. Every single day. But you know, Judy, I love it. I just absolutely love it. I don't want to work for anybody. I don't want to be in, you know, work in a store. I'd be really good. I can do books too. I can do bookkeeping. But I don't want to do that. I want to do what I'm doing. And I really, really love it. So if you, I guess if you can find something that you really love, but some people never find what they want to do. They always complain. I just kind of, if the opportunity had presented itself, I tried it. If I hadn't liked it, I would have moved on. I wouldn't have stayed.
But
I worked
you would
in a nursing
have done
home.
Something else.
Yeah, I worked in a nursing home as a beautician. I had to deal with all those people. And when I look back at all the things, you would love my story because it was, you could probably say, you see, you did this, and now look, it took you there. Then it took you there. Then it took you there.
Exactly.
So now this last book, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint, is that book like what you're doing today, or are you doing this other stuff new because you're doing the systemic constellation work? Is that part of it?
This is absolutely part of it. And people asked me for a long time to write the book because they kept saying to me, is there a way that I can do it on my own? And I said, because I can't always get to you at an event. And I said, sure, let's make that happen. Let's show you how you can transform, but also how you can transform in a logical, because many people want it logical, but very deep way. Here are the steps. So that's why the book was written, to show people you literally can transform yourself. It's not rocket science. We're all very capable of doing it, and it's a step-by-step.
Yeah, I mean, your site tells everything about it, you know. It's learn how to literally see, hear, feel, and interact with previously invisible patterns. Now, what does that mean?
Well, so think about when somebody comes to me and they say, I've always been I'll tell you what. I'm really afraid of money. I want to have more money, but I'm scared of it. I mean, you know what they say about money. Well, first of all, poor old money gets a bad rap, but okay. So tell me about your dad. Well, he was interested but very afraid of money, so he was deeply careful with his money. Tell me about his dad. Oh, his dad was he hid it under the mattress. Well, tell me about his dad. Oh, his dad is a black sheep. We don't talk about him. He was the one who had all the money, and then he blew it and lost the whole lot and put us all into, or the whole family system, into the doldrums, a financial ruin. And there it is. That's why the client is so afraid of money. It's not his fear. It's a fear that's been passed down through the generations. But it really bothers him because he doesn't want to be scared of money. So what is it saying to him? Hey, I've kind of outlived my pattern of scaring everybody. Wouldn't you like to do something different with me? And the client's going, yeah, you know, I really would. And here's where the pattern of fear sits right next to the pattern of possibility. When he starts to see that the fear belongs to his great-grandfather, his grandfather, and maybe even his father, and sees what it's caused in his world, he is the one who can write the new chapter.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this before I came on the show about my dad. My dad didn't even get out of the sixth grade. He went right to work because then that's what happened, right?
Right.
Well, my dad started doing shoe repair. He just kind of fell into that one. But then, and I never heard the story from him. I can't ask him now, of course, but he ended up with this company that did machine repairs, big machine repairs in Detroit. That man could fix anything. Now, he had no training. He had no training, Judy, no training whatsoever. I mean, he was intelligent, but he was more with hands-on, with his hands. He told me a story. He said, you know, because he would get called. He worked at this place called U.S. Broach in Detroit, but he would get called to fix machines at other companies because nobody could do them like him. Nobody. He told me, he said, if I can take it apart, I can fix it and put it back together, and it'll work. It'll work so well they won't even think that it was broke in the first place. But that was an ability he had, okay? My mother, now his father worked in the coal mines. My mother didn't graduate. She didn't go to the ninth grade. But, I mean, she was tough. She was the oldest of 10. Now, you can tell where my background's from. She was the oldest of 10, Judy. She did things. I mean, you know, she'd smoke up in her bedroom and she'd take a powder puff and flick the powder all over so her mother or her father couldn't smell it. You see, she was daring. She was daring. She was the oldest of 10, and she'd have her younger sisters, come on, get the powder puffs out, come on, we don't want anybody to, and then she would take her brother, listen to this, she was a trip, she really was. She would take her brother, and they were supposed to be going to the movies for probably 10 cents or whatever it was. She would put him in the movies, and she'd go dancing because she wanted to dance.
I liked her, so I can see exactly where you came from.
She was born ahead of her time. She could have been a politician. She was tough. She ended up in an insurance company as an insurance adjuster, the first one in the metropolitan area of Detroit. And she always called herself the godmother of the insurance world, meaning, Judy, if I do something for you, I'm going to call you one day, and you will do something for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Because she had, oh, yeah. Because, you see, she had control with fires and things of that nature that would happen, and she'd give the work out to whoever she wanted. So if you happened to be in line for some work, she would remind you. She told me this story, and I laughed. I said, you're kidding me. She said, no. I'll call them and say, okay, it's your turn. It's your time. Because she said, if they didn't do it, I'd never give them work again because I was in control of who got the work.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine her? She was the godmother, quote, unquote, of the insurance world. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was tough. She was tough.
No, but she was smart also. In a time when women were not particularly allowed to, she was very smart.
She was. But, you know, she was determined to be a success, to make something of herself, because she came from nothing. She had 9 brothers and sisters below her in age. She didn't get to go to high school like everybody else. I think she went to 9th grade and they took her out. She started off as a waitress. Oh, she was probably, pardon my French, hell on wheels. you don't like the food, huh? Okay, well, I'll give you food that you're not going to like at all. I mean, she had a mouth. I mean, she really did. Tough. She was just tough. My dad was a simple man, quiet, thought a lot, taught me a lot. It took me to watch the airplanes fly. That's why I want to fly a plane. I've always wanted to. He passed his love for them onto me. But he was very quiet. He didn't say too much. But you can see both of them, and I guess this is why I am how I am. They persevered.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you said. You keep going.
I do. I do, and I don't really even know why. A part of it is my love for what I do, I think. I mean, it's not, you know, I like to help people. Like the magazine has all kinds of stuff from authors and everything. I like to put all that stuff out so the people can know that these people exist, like you. If they don't see your book, if they don't see you or hear you on a show, if they don't see you in a magazine, and you're not promoted anymore, they're not going to know who Judy Wilkinson Smith is. Wilkinson Smith. They're not going to know who you are. So, you see, that's what I love about what I do. Huh?
Absolutely correct. Without people like you, we're not even there.
But you see, I like to put beautiful stuff out so everybody can know that you are out there And, you know, your books are available. Your site is available. There's all kinds of things that you can, you know, you have a newsletter there. I'd like to do that. So
my mother wasn't
a promoter. My mother was all about herself.
So interesting. So I wonder how that came.
Huh? What?
I wonder how the split came, because she was about herself. You are about others. Was that the chapter that you added?
Well, somebody once told me I was the only child and I was left alone all the time. I mean, there was food on the table, but she didn't really mother me per se. The lady across the street did. A little Italian family that took me in as their own. My mother worked all, because you got to remember, my mother was out to achieve.
Right.
And that's what she wanted to do. I didn't see it then. And as I got older, I started to see, well, no, I mean, she, you know, she didn't do things with me. So a gal that worked for me, who's since passed, she told me, she said, you know what? She said, what'd you do when you were home alone by yourself in the summertime? I said, well, if my friends walked by my house and didn't come and get me, she said, what did you do? I said, did you cry? She said, I said, no. She said, what did you do? I said, well, there was TV, there were books, and I did a lot of daydreaming. Lots of it.
And important.
She said to me, I'm going to tell you what I think. She said, I just think you were placed with your parents just to have a home and parental figure. She said, and I think when you were alone, I think the archangels and the angels are the ones that helped you. They supported you. It was the angelic realm. She said, it wasn't your mother and father. And she said, because I'm going to tell you why. She said, you grew up in a life like this. You should have turned out to be a monster. All you should be doing is thinking about yourself, and you are doing the opposite. It's true. She said, because you should have resented your life. I would have, she said. She talked to me a long time, and we became really, really close. And she said, you really should, you know, how is it you turned out to be like you are? She says, I can answer that. You had help that you couldn't see. You just didn't know it. You were guided, she said, because you had a purpose down the road as you got older. And I'm telling you, Judy, I help everything and everyone. And it's not about me. So I don't know how I added that chapter. You tell me. It's a good story, isn't it?
It's a great story, but the way you added the chapter was you realized that your mom was about one person herself. You could be about many people, and that would still grow yourself. So you expanded that.
Yeah, I don't even know if I thought about it then because I was pretty small. I just knew that I was not like the other kids. I was not at all. They were selfish. Even then, I'm compelled to tell you this story about my handwriting. We were in, what, maybe a second, third grade, and, you know, you had to do your capital letters so big, and the small letters, you know what it was like.
Yep.
Well, yours truly had a flair to what she did. And when it came for, I mean, the block letters I would do because she asked me to do them, asked the class to do them. But then we're taught handwriting, cursive as they call it.
Yes.
Well, I didn't comply with what she wanted at all. She would come back to my desk, Judy. I really had great, great people around me. She would come back to my desk and she'd kneel down and she'd say to me, you know, I see your handwriting and it's very beautiful, but it's not what I'm asking you to do. She said, can you try to do what I'm teaching so that everybody is in uniform, making the same, you know, the capital S's and the small S's and all of that. And, you know, I don't know what I said to her. She did that a few times to me because I just didn't do it. I don't know why. Finally, after this one weekend, she came back to my desk again. And I thought, oh, geez, I'm in trouble again. And then I thought to myself, well, you know why you're in trouble. You're not doing what she's asking you to do. She kneeled down at my desk again, and she said, you know, I had a little talk with my husband over the weekend about you. I said, you did? Oh. And she said, you know what he told me? He was a Greek man from Greece. He was Greek. Let's talk about Greek Catholic, right? She said, yep. He said to me, why don't you just let her do what she wants to do? Because her handwriting is so beautiful, and this is part of her creativity, and you don't want to stop her from doing it. So she leaned over closer, and she says, I'm going to let you write the way you want.
Oh,
I smiled at her and never missed a beat from then on. I got all, well, then they gave you S's and U's and stars, and it wasn't satisfactory. You know, all those, they gave you the letters to grade you. And from then on, sky was the limit. I could write any way I wanted. And to this day, people love my handwriting because it's so beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
So you see, it's amazing how that structured me in a way, because it showed me that I could flow. I didn't have to be conventional. I didn't have to do what the books told me to do. I didn't have to. You know what I'm saying, Judy?
Absolutely. It was showing you very clearly, I am me. I am not somebody else. I am me.
But, you know, Judy, the other kids wouldn't do it. But there was just a part of me that, I don't know if I thought it was boring or what. I don't really know. It was instinctive what I did. I didn't think about it. So do people come to you like that with things from their childhood, I'm assuming, and you have to work from there, you have to go all the way back as much as they can remember to bring them forward so they can figure out what their purpose is, that it really is in front of you. And again.
Oh, it's in front of you, yeah.
You know, I mean, like you would have fun with me because you right away you're thinking, I know why she does what she does. And, but a lot of people don't get that. They don't understand, like, even the little kids in class with me, oh, they follow the rules. Oh, I didn't do it. No. I had to put a swirl with my S's and the T's looked different and all. And nobody said anything, see, because she allowed it. And when I went into further grades, nobody questioned me at all. I don't know if she had a little talk. Well, don't say anything to her about her handwriting. It's beautiful, and I let her write the way she wants. Isn't that funny?
She probably did. She probably did.
Oh, I'm sure she did. She really liked me. And for the people that will be listening or that are listening, think back to when you're really young. I also had the ability to interpret stories when I would read. I was advanced. I was a very, very advanced reader. And another teacher, she called me up to the desk and she said, are you done with that book? I said, oh yeah. And she, we talked real low, you know, the kids were busy, and she said, read something for me. So I read it, but when I would read, I would accentuate, you know, dialogue. It wouldn't be like this monotone, no, I was telling you the story. Well, she opened her eyes one day, and she said, looked at me, and she said, what can you not read? And I looked at her, I said, I can read anything. So she gave me this book on Hiawatha. It was a big book, far advanced from the class. And she said, if I give you this book, will you read it? I said, sure. Will you do a report on it? I said, a book report or an oral report? Well, she said, we can do either or. You can just come up to the desk and tell me what the story is about. So you see, I advanced right there with her. She saw something that I could do when other teachers are more stringent, like, you need to do it this way, this level. Oh, I don't even know what level I was at. But you see, that's just something for me. That gave me courage. With that courage, I mean, even on a radio show, I can talk to anybody. I don't care who you are because I love it. I love talking to you. But back to your books, it's your things that you've done. You've got meditations.
I
you've
do.
Got a meditation of the mother, connecting with the source of life and flow. Why do you think the mother, you are connecting with the source of life and flow? The mother, I'm assuming, is a very important figure in your life, right?
Both are very important. The mother is very important because she's the source of birth. She's the source of life. She's the one who carries you. Dad
yep.
is important because he introduces you to the world and he shows you how to be in your career. Although these days, a lot of that changes.
Yeah. You know, my dad, I guess, taught me not to be afraid of anything. And you can do anything. Because
yeah,
I,
Dad.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, but it's true. I never thought of it that way, Judy. I mean, I always knew he was a wonderful father, took me to the airport every Saturday. My girlfriends would say to me, why are you going to the airport? I said, well, I'm going to watch the planes fly, and I'm going to find out things about flying. And they said, well, why don't you want to stay home and play with dolls? I remember telling my one girlfriend, I said, because dolls aren't real. I was 8 years old. I still talk to that girlfriend today. We grew up. We knew each other since kindergarten. She laughs at me. She called me. She said, I remember you telling me that. And we couldn't figure out, why would you go to the airport and watch these dumb planes fly? They weren't dumb planes.
No.
But you see the background, and I never dissected it like this. I never thought about it. You brought this out in me to think about. And you, tell me about you. What were your parents like? Let's do you. Let's decode you.
My dad was kind of, he took over the house when he was about the age of 8 because his father disappeared after the war. So he was very, very responsible. But he liked to have fun. My mom is just an incredible, incredible person. People walk in and they go, we love her, and she hasn't even opened her mouth.
Yes.
So I was really nurtured by 2 amazing parents. Could not have asked for more, would not have asked for different.
And, you know, I mean, I think sometimes you can resent. I mean, my mother was so about self. And when I look back and think about her, and I never thought about her as being she was making a world for her life. She was making her own life. You know, she had to do what she had to do. But up until I don't know how many years ago, I resented her because she would do things. She threw all my report cards away. I had them, you know, with blue stars and gold stars and silver. She threw them all away. She threw everything of mine away. And
why?
I don't know, Judy. And when it came time for me to be married, it was my neighbor, the lady across the street, that went with me to set up my whole reception and everything. My mother didn't go. She wouldn't take a day off work. So, you see, there was something about her. Maybe, was she jealous? I don't know.
No, was she the first woman in the family who was really determined to do something? And
she
that
was.
Became her
yeah.
Because
that was an obsession with her. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's why my friend Maya said to me, I don't know how you turned out like you did. Well, and then she figured it out. She said, because you should be a total terror because of what your life was as a child. Well, I had the lady across the street that helped a lot, tremendously. I even told my friend, my little girlfriend, I said, you know, it was your mother that was my mother. It wasn't my mother. It was her.
Right.
I mean, she would do things, but you see, she was placed in my life to take the place of my mother because there were, and people need to listen to what I'm saying, because there were things I needed to do, and I needed her influence. I needed to get from her what I needed to get. I didn't get it from my mother. No,
but you also needed your mother to be absent so that you would be independent.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. I was home alone until it got really dark at night. But I missed out on a lot of things, you know. When you have a mother that's like that, it's difficult because you think back to, like, for Halloween, I didn't dress. I had to dress myself up for Halloween. Even when I was a little girl, Judy. I think she purposely came home late because she didn't want to help me. She just cared about herself. Even my aunt, one of her sisters, told me, "Oh, she didn't want you." You see? So there was resentment. Yeah, but I didn't take that to heart. Because
right.
I'm supposed to be here, Judy. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And and my son, he's just wonderful. My granddaughter, oh. But I always look at things not that what I didn't have. I just keep doing and doing and doing until I can't do anymore. I'm just. But it really is amazing how people start their lives out and end up, where they land. Let's put it where they land, right?
Right. And they land that way because of the circumstances they're in. It's very specifically set up that you're going to have the circumstances you need in order to become who you become.
Right.
That's important. So your mom was not available, but you then went and made a different plan. And being able to make a different plan meant when other people would give up, you didn't, because you'd moved beyond that.
True. But I didn't even think about it. It was a natural progression for me.
Yep. Which couldn't have happened if your mom was fully available.
No, that's true. No, it's called divine guidance. It was all divined. It was all, okay, this is going to happen, then she's going to do this, and then she's going to go there, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I have such a background because people will say, well, how is it you do? How do you talk to people you don't even know? I have no idea, but I love it. I love talking to you. I want to talk more about you. So you've got this site. You've got people can work with you, correct? They can do, because your book has been around a while, correct? This last one.
Yeah, it's been around for a year. It's been a bestseller. It's now translated into 8 languages.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's doing very well. I actually gave a talk yesterday to a Croatian group, but it's all over the place. And then people come to my live events, and yes, I work individually.
Well, I wish I could work with you. Of course, you already know about me now.
Here we go. There is a lot to know about you.
Yeah. Gosh. It's unreal. When you sit down and you talk to people and you start digging a little bit, and their conception of, or their idea of their mother and their father, my life, I was alone. That was it.
Right.
Whatever I needed to learn, because I read a lot. Now you got to remember, when I was on summer vacation, because I could really read, I absorbed everything.
Exactly.
Because I had the time. And my little friends, they were playing with their dolls, and Saturdays I'd go to the airport, and if they didn't want to come get me, I was okay. And my friend said to me, "Why didn't you get upset?" I said, "Well, I saw the one girl come in front of my house, and they didn't come and get me, and they went off to do what they were going to do." She said, "How'd you feel?" I said, "I didn't miss a beat. I turned around and decided, well, okay, let's do this and this." I said, "I didn't even think about it."
And that is something that you taught yourself because of your circumstances, which means you became resilient, which means you also didn't need other people. You may have chosen them, but you knew you were enough exactly the way that you were.
Yeah. That's right. People should get with you. They should get your books because they'll learn an awful lot about themselves. Instead of saying, "Oh, I didn't have this," and "Oh, I didn't have that." Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's what you are. You are what you are. I read something just the other day, and I heard it on Instagram. He was a rabbi, and he said, "Don't walk with feelings or emotions. Walk with faith." He said, because once you do that, then the miracles will happen.
This is
isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful. Yes, it also means you're in and you don't have your foot on the brake, so the universe can do its work.
Yes, yes. You know, I was always so worried about my one site not making enough money. I don't do that anymore. I stopped totally. Because I know the universe will provide something for me. So there's going to be a way because I'm a really good person. And if you want me to, and I'll talk out loud. If you want me to help all these people, I have to have a way. Open the doors for me. You know I'll walk through. If I don't like it, I'll slam it, and I'll move on to the next one. That's exactly what I do, Judy.
There you go. So the universe is pretty clear.
It is. And I'm not intimidated either. I think that's another thing that I have going for me.
Was your mother? You got from her.
It was, yeah. Oh, no, nothing intimidated her. Oh, my gosh. Uh-uh. She was tough. She could have been a politician, but women weren't politicians then, you know, but she could have been,
That's right. She was more amazing than you may be aware of, but she set it up for you.
Yep. I've learned that over the years about, you know, I mean, she hurt me in a lot of ways by not doing the regular things that mothers would do, but now I understand, especially talking to you, Judy, that it was all by purpose. It was all by intent. She may not have known it, but the divine knew. There was an intent there. We have to get her to be able to do these things and not rely upon anyone because her work is going to be big. My work is big. I know that. I mean, you know, I almost died twice. I mean, I've had a lot of things happen to me. Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. And that's why, you know, always on the show is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there because you might not think they're not, but they are.
They are.
You're getting guidance every step of the way, but you have to be open to it and don't question it. Just kind of roll with it. And I think my daydreams helped me, too, when I was a little girl. I always wanted a horse. Well, you know, living in Detroit, you don't have horses, you know, but... I mean, I didn't stomp my feet and cry and get upset, throw a tantrum. I didn't do any of that. But I was crushed on the inside. And I put it in its little place, and I didn't worry about it. And today, you know what I do? My most favorite horse in the whole world was Secretariat. I watched him race when I was a little girl. Anytime I see any, and people know who I am on Instagram, anytime I see something about him, I'll say, always my love, for Big Red, and I put a heart. I do it every time. This man didn't see me do a post, and I ended up talking to him once on the phone. He said, "Why didn't you? You always do this." He said, "Even Claiborne Farms know you do this." I said, "Well, I hadn't gotten to it yet." No, I always do that. Always my love for Big Red. Always, always.
Oh.
And I think that stems from the fact that I couldn't have a horse. So I put all of my love and everything onto him. And but think about your life too, Judy. Look at where you came, how you got to where you are. It's a wonderful thing. Look what you do, all the people you're helping.
I get to be very lucky and help people the way that I love to help people. So I'm a little bit like you. I'm very fortunate. I have great clients. And I'm very fortunate that people love to attend my events and to call me. I'm pretty blessed.
Well, you know, it really is a wonderful life, like that movie.
Yep.
It's a wonderful life. And, you know, you're gonna get people along the way. I don't get that. I surround myself with good people, people that love me and I love them, but there's very few that I don't love. And if they need some help, I'll help them if I can. I will. But, you know, your backgrounds are so important. They need to talk to somebody like you because they can look back and see where they are today and why they are where they are today.
People miss that a lot. It's really important. Once you understand it, you'll see that the universe always had your back, always. even when you didn't think so, it always has had your back. And it's when you start to work with it that things begin to flow.
Well, yeah, you know, my life is not so, actually, and I'm a lot older, but I don't know, and I'm trying to teach, like, my granddaughter some things, you know. I do things for her that I never had. I never got. Because she'll say to me, well, you know, Graham, you don't have to do that. I mean, I help. I don't pay for education. I pay for her meal plan, but I buy her things and stuff, and she's just everything that I have. My son, I do the same thing for. But she said to me one day, you know what she said? Well, she said, she calls me Grambo, like Rambo, because I'm tough. She says I'm tough. Can you imagine that? But she said, you know, Graham, I know why you do this. And I said, okay, tell me why. She says, because this is all the things you never had when you were a little girl. And you're making sure I have them. I said, exactly. When she was about to start college her first year, she's made the dean list every semester. But when she was starting to start, I was at the table. It was at her birthday. I stood up and I said, I'm going to tell everybody something at this table. My granddaughter will not be without for her education at all. I looked at her mother and her father. I said, do I make myself clear? Because I would get a home equity liner. I have a lot of money in this house. I'll use it. I don't want her to be without because she has a gift. And my son was in tears.
Oh.
I said, yeah. But you see, that's what I'll do, you know. And you get this nice feeling when you do something for somebody, Judy. I'm sure you do too. When you see them smile or this bright light in their eyes, like, wow, I can't believe this.
It's a lovely thing.
It is. But I want to give your site out again for people that, because I'll push this out onto my social platforms and my gals will do it also. But, you know, I want them to go to your site, and there's a lot of reading that they can do here. It's called Judy Wilkins, WILKINS-Smith.com. And the big words are, how big are you willing to be? And you heard Natalie say, as big as I can.
I love it.
And I think that's the truth. And I think you are a beautiful person, Judy, for doing this for all these people that come to you. That's a gift. That's what you have. And I'm so lucky that I have all of these publicists and publishing houses and authors all want to be on my show. There's a man that was on last week. He's pretty famous. And I said to him, why did you want to be on my show? I'm a nobody. He said, stop. You are a somebody. And he said, and you know what, Natalie? Yeah, my story was made into two movies. Yeah. But he said, I envy you. I said, why? He said, because look at all that you can do. All I can do is write stories. I can't do what you do. And he said, and I want to help you. And he has. So you see, and I didn't ask, you know. So I'll tease him, you know, because he did do two movies that are really famous. And I don't know how, I know how I got him. I got him because I was supposed to get him. He was supposed to come to me. That's why. He answered me himself personally. And I thought to myself, okay, I don't say no to anybody, Judy. You want to come on my show again in 6 months? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because a conversation keeps taking us in different places, and we reach higher realms. We keep going up and up and up, and it's so important. It's so important what you do. It really, I'm just, my heart feels really good. It feels really good. I feel really good inside. My soul feels really good inside because you have, and you do so much. And I want you on the show again.
I'm so grateful for you, and I will be on your show anytime. But I've got to know, what are these two movies?
Oh, The Meg and The Meg to the Trench, Steve Alton.
Okay.
I had him last week. Somebody sent me a hit, well, his publicist sent me an email. Would you like to have him on your show? And it was funny because his email address started with MEG. And I thought, oh, this has got to be a joke. And I thought, no, Natalie, I don't think so. I wrote him back. I said, yes. Well, later that afternoon, Steve wrote me himself. I want to be on your show. Yes. Send me some days and times. We'll make this happen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I've never asked for anybody. And, you know, famous. I mean, it's just that, you know, he's got movies. I mean, I'll talk to any. I mean, you're famous. To me, you're famous. I mean, it didn't matter. And when we were talking, you know, he has Parkinson's, you know, and he said, I'm sitting here feeling so good talking to you, and I'm the one who makes all the money. I said, Steve. Yeah, I said, but Steve, it's not about the money. He said, no. He said, but I can't do what you do. And I said, and I can't write stories about sharks and whales and all this kind of stuff. I can't do that. I can't even get my fairy tale that I want to do on paper. He's laughing.
I love it.
But I might not ever have anybody like him again. But that's okay. I have somebody like you. And you're famous to me. And what does it mean to be famous? You have to be a household word? No. No. And I'm honored. You're wonderful. And we will do this again, lovely lady. We will.
Absolutely.
And you have an awesome day. And I want to thank my listeners, and I will be, this is recorded, it takes about 20 minutes or so, and then they put it all together in my admin, and I will put it out everywhere. I'll extend it to my gals, and we will be all over the world.
And that sounds awesome to me, and thank you for doing what you do.
Always. I would love to meet you someday because I think we'd end up sitting and talking for hours and hours and hours.
Yes,
we would.
Yes.
Anyways, you have a beautiful day, and go back to her site, judywilkins-smith.com, and the big words: how big are you willing to be? Ask yourself that question, and you can get her book. There's a place to get it. You can order it there. And then she's got other things. Now, tell me, what is this intensive at Disney World? What is that about?
Oh, the intensive at Disney World is all about money DNA. Why you can or can't, will or won't make a lot of money, what stands in your way, where it came from, and what it's trying to teach you to do so that you can have all that you want.
Oh, I would love that. Now, did you do it already?
No, it's November the 5th through the 8th. At Disney World. It's at the Yacht Club with accommodation at the Beach Club. And so
I know.
I'm
going to tell you a story about that quickly because we still have a little time. My son and my daughter-in-law met at Disney World when he was, I don't know how old he was. He was like maybe 20. And they married and had a daughter, my granddaughter, of course. And I've been there so many times. They have been there so many times. That is our most favorite place in all the world. And I don't think I'll be there November 5th. We have pets that you have to take care of and all that kind of stuff, but they have annual passes. They're vacation club members. Oh, yeah. Go see her.
Right.
Now, they can sign up on your site, right, where it says learn more. All of that is right there for them?
Absolutely. It's all there. I want to know where your son has timeshare because I have timeshare.
He has it at, not Old Key West. He has it at Sarasota?
Sarasota Springs, yeah. I have it at Beach Club. I love my timeshare at Disney. Disney is my favorite place in the world, and for people who come in to my live event, they will see Mickey all over me. I love Mickey.
Oh, gosh. Boy, we could talk hours on that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell my son. We were thinking of trying to go. My birthday's around Thanksgiving. We were trying to go, so that would be more in the end of November. But we'll have to work it around my granddaughter who's going to, you know, she has to have school off or whatever.
Right.
But, oh, gosh, it would be wonderful. Well, if my ship comes in, as they say, and I can get there, you know I will. And I'll be raising my hand. Oh, Judy, it's Natalie. You'll probably say, sit down, Natalie, and be quiet.
I will not do that.
No. Natalie, come up here. We're going to talk. Come on up here. I'm going to tell about my show. Yeah. Oh, you're wonderful. I just love you, Judy. You know, sometimes people make you feel really high, like not on a high, but high. There's a difference, and that's how you made me feel today. So bless you. I love you, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Take good care.
You too, honey. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody,
bye.
Next week I do not have a show. Sometimes I have days off like that, and that's okay too. But in 2 weeks, who do I have? Let me look at my little book here, my appointment book. I'm booked all the way. I have a lady called Emilia. She's a medium, and you'll see all about it on my show page. Don't forget, sign up at starswithazpsychics.com. Get your newsletter. You'll get on the list, and I think we're going to combine info for the new magazine, new version of the magazine, and Stars Psychics, Stars with a Z, psychics.com, and good race, good people. It's a great place. Great customer service, that's yours truly. So I don't think you have to worry about, you know, being left out in the shuffle somewhere. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Have an awesome day. Look outside. It's a beautiful world. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.